Good morning. How are we? It's morning for another 45 minutes, and then it's afternoon. But till then, good morning. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I am Tom. What am I? Present. I like that. Present. This is the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check us out. Look and find all of our podcasts. Seeing what's going on. My schedule is a little crazy this morning. I got to run. Got my medication in this morning. Still a bastard, though. Always a bastard. Nothing more than a bastard in a basket. See that movie? There Will Be Blood. Oh. Bastard in a Basket. If you haven't seen that movie, it's a great movie. I feel like it's loosely based on Rockefeller, the oil guy. This guy was Daniel. First of all, Daniel Day-Lewis is probably my most favorite actor ever. Do you see a lot about Daniel Day-Lewis? No. But when it comes to acting, that fucking guy kills it. And he does in that movie. That movie is so good. It's about a guy that's basically just traveling the United States, you know, buying property, wants the oil. Oil guy. And kind of uses his cute little boy to kind of get the door open. You know, this takes place, I don't know, whatever, 18s, 17s, I don't even know. But has to be in the 18s, right? Late 1800s, maybe. I don't know, but watch it. It's really crazy. It's, I think all the music was done on a saw. You know, it's a very interesting movie. Check it out. That's not what I'm here to talk about. It is interesting that at the end of the movie, he's basically a total drunk. Living in a giant mansion, so much money, and drunk all day. That's why I don't play the lottery. I can see that, you know, that happening to me. Or I could see me screwing that up. I nothing like that's going to happen to me. But I can see screwing an opportunity up like that. Yeah, so I ran this morning. I feel pretty good. I don't have any immediate threats against my serenity or my sobriety. I was trying to think... One of the biggest things that when I first got sober that happened to me was this flood of emotions. Like they had been cooped up, dammed up, and I can't remember how long it took, but it wasn't very long before those emotions started just come flooding back. And I remember at the time I was so emotional. I was like so worried about hitting a squirrel. I mean, I would crash into a tree to avoid hitting a squirrel. I was so emotional. I pack my case. I check my face. I look a little bit older. I look a little bit colder. With one deep breath. One big step. Reasons Unknown. The Killers. I love The Killers. Talked about The Killers the other day. Such a great band. Brandon Flowers. The front man. Love that guy. I'm not even gay. Dude's awesome. They do it's a live show. You can find it on YouTube. Prince Royal Albert Hall. Watch that fucking show, man. That guy. What a band. The Killers. Just saw them. They opened up, or they headlined at Firefly the last time we were there. Last time Firefly was doing Firefly stuff. Yeah, it was really great. Check them out. Great band. So, yeah. So I was thinking about, you know, I love doing these podcasts. I love sharing my thoughts. Carlos says, I just want to hear myself talk. Maybe. I do listen to my podcast. It's very interesting because the guy that sits here and does this podcast isn't the guy. I just become, not that doing this podcast makes me any better or anything. It just kind of gets thoughts out. It's like writing thoughts down and then reflecting on them. I get the thoughts out, and then I'll, like this morning I ran and I listened to a podcast that I'd done the other day, and I'm listening to it as a guy just interested in the thoughts, not I want to hear myself talk, because I really don't. I don't like my, I don't, who likes their voice, right? I don't like my voice when I'm doing this right now. I mean, the other day I did a podcast, I started five times. I had to restart five times because I just was so annoyed by myself. And I've worked through it and put it out there, and, you know, because this is no big production, obviously. It's just me talking. And I put it out. But I listened back through the podcast, and, you know, it has a great flow to it. It's got a nice pace, you know. It's not awful. I've yet to hear one that is awful. But I can tell you the parts that I think are seriously awful don't come off as awful as I thought they were. I'm just not a big fan of myself. Never have been. But, you know, what I was thinking about today is the emotions that, you know, I had been drunk and suppressing my emotions, not on purpose, just a byproduct of my behavior, for so long that when I finally got sober and started kind of clearing some of this shit out, and, you know, I've talked about the story, you know, of clearing the garage. You know, I was so so raw and exposed when I first came in here, that when my life started to kind of, the pink cloud started to kind of fade, and I started to try to, not on purpose, but address some of the, people are changing appointments. When I came in and started to address some of the things I'd been going through and picking at them a little bit, and you don't do it perfectly. I definitely didn't do it perfectly, but started to kind of work through the steps, and all of a sudden all these emotions started coming back. And I remember, for some reason, I just remember this paralyzing feeling I had when I thought about running over a squirrel. Fucking stupid, right? I mean, prior to getting sober, I didn't give a fuck about anything. I'd run over it. Boom, boom. What was that? Boom, boom. What was that? Boom, boom. Just running shit over. Not on purpose, but, you know, if a squirrel made a bad choice and ended up going under my tire, I didn't think 2 seconds about it. When I got sober, then I started to, you know, come out of it. Those emotions came back, and I just remembered the feeling of the fear of running an animal over, especially a squirrel. And I mean, if I saw a squirrel, I would break. I mean, the whole family could die crashing the car to save the squirrel. That's how, for some reason, I was so passionate about it. And then just that emotion right there on the edge, it's a lot to deal with. I didn't start using drugs and start using alcohol because I wanted to get rid of those feelings. I've always said I started drinking and drugging because I wanted to impress somebody, Danny, my buddy Danny. That's how it all started. Danny wanted to try it, suggested I tried it. It's like when, it's the same thing with my sponsor, Matt. You know, he's like, here, try this food. I don't want, try bone marrow spread on a biscuit. I'm like, inside, I'm like, fuck no. But since Matt said it, I tried it. And goddamn it, I liked it. And the same thing happened with Danny. You know, I never had this burning desire to be a drunk or a drug addict. But when Danny said, let's try it, I was like, I want to impress. And that would be, you know, that'd be the thread that runs through my life, you know, worried about what other people think, caring what they think of me. What can I do to impress you? I mean, I still struggle with that. Not as much today. But it used to be very important to me that people liked me and that people thought well of me. And if you didn't, you know, I can remember some, you know, back in the day, some girl, she called me something, didn't like me. I was just doing my Tom thing, didn't like me. You know, sometimes you run into those people, we just don't get along. And I'm pleading my case why she should like me. Listen, she's like, I don't like you. Something about you. I was like, oh, shit. But listen, I'm this and I'm that. So important. Instead, I'd be like, yeah, I get it. I don't really like you either. I can't even imagine the number of people that I've liked because I wanted to be liked and in the end didn't really care. You know, there's a handful of people I think in my life that I would stop and do pretty much anything for if they needed it. But that's not a big amount. Who's got time for doing that? Dropping everything. Got no time for that. How's everybody doing? What's you know, if you're new to sobriety, are you finding that emotion come pouring back? You know, and sometimes that it's like, for some reason, I started watching like these old tsunami clips from like 2011, March 2011. It was like, you know, this big 9.0 magnitude earthquake hits Japan and these fucking tsunamis coming. And it's crazy, you know. Tsunamis reminded me, and that's what I kept thinking about the whole time, is it reminded me of my addiction. You know, all of a sudden, you know, there were, you know, these warnings. They call them high-low sirens, which I didn't realize that was the name of them. But they go, beep, boom, beep, boom, beep, high, low. And I'm like, oh, fuck, that makes sense. High, low sirens are blowing up. People of Japan, a tsunami approaches. And everyone's like, oh, okay. And they say Japan's always getting hit by tsunamis. It's just, you know, they're on that a fault line. So they're always having some issues. But people of Japan, you know, like people tell me, don't drink and drug, it'll ruin your life. And you're like, okay. People of Japan, the tsunami is coming. And you're like, oh, boy. And I'm watching them, and the people, they're all kind of walking up and standing along the fence line, along the ocean front, or, you know, some lookout post. And they're all gathering. And you see they put the camera on the bay or whatever it is, and you see, you know, the water just slowly coming towards you, just a nice little march. You know, the water's probably, you know, I was watching this one clip, and these guys were in cars, and the flood is coming, but it was going about as fast as you could walk. So a slow jog, fast walk. And they're just kind of staying in front of it, but it's just rolling. It isn't slowing down. It isn't breaking. It's just rolling. And it's not like it's 2 inches of water. Whatever it hits, it just takes out. And, you know, these people are kind of, you know, milling around. And it's kind of like how I did with in my addiction, just kind of not taking it that serious. Yeah, whatever. Same with smoking cigarettes. I'm like, I just want to try them. I want to get addicted. Fucking 15 years later. And that's how my alcoholism and my drug addiction started. Just slowly, you know, not really hurting anybody. Sometimes the tsunami comes in two waves. You might get a little wave. Everyone's like, oh, you know, pushes all the pool furniture around. I'm like, oh, geez, that was bad. Everybody's down in the... I think the one I was watching was probably at some resort, and but they're down there fixing everything. At one point, this tsunami's coming in, one of the bigger ones, and it's like the whole bay was empty of water. And so what do these people do? They decide they're going to go get all the fish. They want to go pick up all the fish that they can get. I'm like, that's not probably a good idea. It's kind of like when I decided I would start selling drugs. You know, look at the opportunity. I can fill my basket with fish. And that's, to me, what selling was. But, you know, you're farther out there, right? That bay is emptying, 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 going back out. The water's receding into the ocean. And you're, well, these people are out there walking out into the bay, picking up those fish. Reminded me a lot of my drug dealing. You know, like, oh, okay, well, look at me. If I sell it, I could do it for free. And I just started wading farther out into the bay, selling a little bit here, selling a little bit there. Next thing you know, I had a pager. Selling bigger amounts. Doing more. Got a fucking wad of cash. Wading farther out into the bay. Then the big fucking wave comes rolling through and just wipes them all out. That's what happened to me. Someone got caught. Sold me out. Cops came knocking. I don't know if I ever told the story about, I lived in this apartment. And I was early into my drug and, you know, and it's weird. Whenever I was drinking a lot, I wasn't doing a lot of drugs. Whenever I was doing a lot of drugs, I wasn't drinking a lot. It was always, you know, sometimes we get confused when we say I'm an alcoholic. I'm a abuser of anything, really. If it feels good, it makes me feel good, makes me funnier, makes me socialize better, I'm probably a big fan of it. But at this time in my life, I was doing a lot of speed, and I was just kind of getting into the game. And, but it's like, you know, it's like I was just kind of not really knowing the trouble I was headed towards. I thought, you know, maybe I could just get away with it, but it just keeps drawing you out there. The fish are bigger. And one day I was at my apartment and I heard this, you know, and I'm like, what's all the racket, man? And I look out my sliding glass door, because at my front door in this efficiency apartment in Leucadia was a sliding glass door. It's like they had taken a two-bedroom apartment, split it in half. I got the kitchenette side with the sliding glass door, and then whoever had the other apartment got the living room and a bedroom, but whatever. But I hear these knocking. I look out the sliding glass door, and there's all these freaking cops kicking in or banging down my neighbor's door, and she was one, probably two doors down. And I'm looking, I'm like, oh my God. Oh, geez. And then one of the cops goes, hey, hey, you. I was like, shit, shut the door. Shut the door. They come knocking on my door. I'm like, what? You know your neighbor? I'm like, yeah, I know my neighbor. You got any drugs? I'm like, no, of course not. Like, well, we're going to search your door, search your house, and if you have any drugs, you're going to jail. I'm like, I don't have any drugs, so you can't search. I'm not giving you permission. He goes, well, we're going to get a search warrant. If you have any cocaine, we're going to go to jail. You're going to go to jail. If you have anything else, we won't worry about it. Do you have any cocaine? I was like, ooh, I don't have any cocaine. He goes, then you don't mind if we search? And I go, I guess not. Well, they searched. They found meth. They found a bong. They found my weed. They found all my drugs, but no cocaine. And the cop didn't arrest me. He took all of my shit, but he did not arrest me. And, you would think that would have been a wake-up call. No. I kept going into it. And, you know, selling a little more. Getting a little rep, getting to be the connection, getting to be the big guy. It's always the big, I don't know how it is now because I'm not in that lifestyle. I'm sure it's the same way, but, you know, you always got these guys coming up, you know. You got the kingpin, right, selling the drugs. He gets busted. The next guy comes up. It's always somebody coming up. And, you know, over the time I became that guy. Not a kingpin. It wasn't that big of a deal, but at a scale. I have my drugs. You know, I do my house calls, have my thing, my pager. And, you know, one day, fucking door got kicked in. It was the cops. Busted. I don't know if it was the same cops that had to come by the first time, but, you know, It's just a big game. It's a game, girl. Said Guns N' Roses. But it's just a game. Just a game. And, you know, I got busted. My dealer ended up bailing me out of jail. Probably because he thought that if he didn't bail me out, I was going to rat him out, which I wouldn't have. Like, you know, can you work with us? They always want you to snitch it out. That's how somebody got me. Someone snitched me out. They fucking bend you over a couple times. You sing. It's fine. I don't care. But one of the things that I thought about and that I think that I didn't do then, which I definitely do now, is I try to think the drink through. I try to think the sale through. I try to think the comment through. I try to think, you know, whatever it is, you know, whether it's doing drugs, you know, having a sip, smoking some weed, inappropriate conversations with a female or, you know, whatever it is. You know, when I was 18, I didn't think anything through. Hey, girl, what's up? You know, I wasn't that much in the catcall, but, you know, I remember, you know, trying drinking. I did not think that through. I remember trying drugs for the first time. I did not think that through. I didn't think about where it could lead me or what could happen in the end. I just did it. And that would be a lot of my life. What do I want? What's going to make me happy? Who cares the consequences? Who cares the pain that this might cause somebody? I don't care. Like ditching school. I fucking ditched so much school when I was in high school. And I wouldn't think about the fact that I was going to get caught. I just loved ditching. But there again, I'd get caught. Didn't think it through. Didn't care. Maybe I thought it through. I just really didn't give a fuck. Didn't care what people thought. I didn't care if they busted me. Whatever. I was toxic. You know, but today, you have to think everything through. You know, people will send me messages about stuff, complaining about stuff. You know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you know, I might have said something. Or tell them, go fuck yourself. Fuck off. You know, whatever. I mean, when I made that right turn at the liquor store in Easton, I didn't think that through. All I heard was how good I'd been doing, and I was the one telling myself that. Self had a conversation with me, boosted me up, told me I deserved it, and sent me on my way. And maybe self was right. Maybe I did deserve it. I mean, I literally had gone 5 years without drinking. I deserved it. But if I'd have thought it through, I would have realized that regardless if I deserved it, it wouldn't have been a good outcome. Would not have been a good outcome, and it wasn't. Turns out I was right. I just did not heed my own advice. Had that first drink, hiding bottles by the end of the week. But it's, you know, whether, you know, in my business, in the hair business, you know, prior to getting married, you know, but there was, listen, I haven't been an angel. Have not been an angel. And, you know, you got to think that shit through. You know, now as a 52-year-old man, because there are a lot of people out there that would love to pull you into the playpen. Love to pull you into the playpen. And there's been a couple incidents. Maybe, you know, I stood by the edge of the playpen, thought about it. But there's weird things that happen as I've gotten older is that, you know, I have relationships with people that I care about. You know, in the past, I may have had a good friendship with somebody, but unfortunately for me, that almost would always lead to like some, you know, hookup, you know, something. You don't think it through, and then you end up losing that person as a friend. You know, getting into texting or whatever it is we might do. And then, you know, the heat of the moment fades off and then you're left with that shame and guilt of like, God, why did I even get into this? It's It's tough. But today, man, think it through. Where is this going to end up? Is it going to end up well? Probably not. If it isn't, don't do it. Don't do it. Think that drink through. You know, today I'm like, that voice hasn't showed up that says I deserve it, but, you know, it's always coming at me, something. You know, and I got to think it through. I want to have, I don't want to have that. You know, there was a time when I was in my second marriage and, you know, shit was going crazy and I was out of my mind and I was, you know, getting caught up in something and I lost everything. I mean, I lost friendships. I lost my wife at the time. I did not think it through. And I'll never forget that lesson that I learned from that. Bad. Badness. Badness. All right, let's, we're almost out of time here. Let me, can I read a little daily reflections and just kind of get, see where we're at today with our lives. And is anybody out there suffering, struggling, relapsing? It's okay. Keep coming back. All right, here we go. October 1st. Lest we become complacent. Ooh, nailed it. Like usual. Here we go. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 85. When I am in pain, is it easy to stay close to the friends I have found in the program? Relief from that pain is provided in the solutions contained in AA's 12 steps. But when I am feeling good and things are going well, I can become complacent. To put it simply, I become lazy and I turn into the problem instead of the solution. I need to get into action, to take stock. Where am I and where am I going? A daily inventory will tell me what I must change to regain spiritual balance. Admitting what I find within myself to God and to another human being keeps me honest and humble. I love it. I love that. Lest we become complacent. You know, every day from that day we drank, that pain fades a little bit. That fear fades a little bit. You know, and that's when we become complacent. That's when we stop thinking things through. That's when that addiction shows back up and says, man, it might not be such a bad idea. Might not be such a bad idea. That's a spiritual deficiency right there. Don't fall for it. Hey, I hope everyone's having a great day. Thanks for tuning in. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast on the Social Podcast Network. Check out all of our podcasts. We love it. I'm not great day.